And good evening, ladies and gentlemen,
and welcome to the No Show. And it is our pleasure to welcome you to Your No Show, the show where we talk about what is going on in life, all of the phenomenal opportunities that Spirit has brought our way, where we talk about overcoming, moving forward, and at all times being grateful. And even during those challenging times, we talk about LGHI. I-L-G-H-I, I let God handle it as I pray and move my feet in the direction that Spirit, God, Universal, Impersonal Principle is guiding my steps. And for that, I am so grateful. We are grateful this evening, Carrie Kelly and I, that you decided to be right here where it is that you are, on this program with us to talk about how it is that Spirit can overcome when we get ourselves, our little selves, out of the way. And you know the folks that are here this evening. You know Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa and her phenomenal book, Teachable Moments. You know the experiences that she has had with 78 broken bones and going through hospitalization and yet coming out on the other side to tell a phenomenal story. I am Robert J.V. McMillan. This is Wednesday, March 2nd, and the time, of course, is right now, and the time is the opportunity for you to show up and show out as Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa and her cohort in this effort that we will talk with this evening as well, Ms. Sharon Yule Foster, who also assisted Diane quite capably in making all of this happen. So we are grateful that you all have decided to join us. Call your friends right now or text them and share with them that they may call in at 347-838-9142. And then if they will press 1, we will know that they are interested in making a comment or asking a question. And we will make certain that that happens. They may also go up on the web on www.blogtalkradio.com/Winford and also find the No Show, and they will be connected with us in that way. We are so pleased and so grateful that you all have decided, from the Latin word decir, you made up your mind that you were going to do something differently. And therefore, here you are right now, and we are so grateful that you have decided to be with us, to spend time with us, and to move forward in wonder-filled, wonderful ways. Let me just go ahead and say good evening also to Ms. Carrie Kelly, my capable sidekick, who supports us in this effort as well, and is just a phenomenal person, and she will join us a little bit later. But first of all, I want to just bring in Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa, my dear friend, and say hello to her. Good evening, Diane, and how are you?
I'm doing great, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well, my sister. I am, as always, just thrilled to hear your voice, thrilled to know how Spirit is blessing through you. Thrilled to know that we have walked through the water and we've walked through the fire and we've not been drowned nor have we been singed, and we are definitely and very much grateful. I want at some point and shortly here to bring in Sharon Yule Foster as well. But first let me start with you, Diane, and let me ask you to tell our audience about that experience Give them the time frame when it was. It seems to me sometimes like it was just yesterday, but I know that it was a few years ago and what have you. But just tell people rather briefly what happened and how it is that we got to where it is that we are now, and how you got to be able to have this phenomenal book and all of the folks that have supported you, including Sharon Yule Foster. And I'm going to talk a little bit about her in a little while. But first of all, tell us about your experiences and how you ended up in that hospital for that period of time.
6 years ago today, March 2nd, 2010, I was in shock trauma and unit in University of Maryland Hospital. I was involved in a head-on car crash. I was the passenger in a two-seater Mazda Miata hit head-on by a Dodge Durango, which is an SUV. So it's David versus Goliath. And Goliath won this time. But
mm-hmm.
So from the experience, I remember that when the car impacted us, it felt like the car I was in, the Miata, turned into a can of sardines. I felt the front of the car kind of leave the car, and it just peeled back. They opened up a can of sardines. It looked like after the impact, we were sitting outside, and I smelled smoke and gas and grit and dirt, and it just smelled terrible, but it also smelled like horror. And the next thing I remember, I woke up in trauma center, being at the emergency room at Prince George's Hospital, and they told me that my friend is here with me, and she's going to stay with us here at Prince George's, but a helicopter is on its way to take you to a shock trauma in Baltimore. I used to be a pharmaceutical rep for over 20 years, and my territory was Baltimore, and I knew shock trauma, and I even sold a drug to shock trauma called Solumedrol, or methylprednisolone. It's for trauma. It's for anaphylactic shock. And I knew that if I was born there, I was in trouble, and I was in serious trouble. And the nurse said to me, "Do you believe you're going to live?" And I said, "Yes." And she told me to say it four times, and I said, "I'm going to live, I'm going to live." Said it four times, And from then, I remember the helicopter drivers, riders, pilots were talking to me, and I was afraid to talk to them because I had watched enough Westerns. When they started talking to the cowboy, once he got shot, he usually fade away and die. And so I was afraid to small talk. Then I was thinking, we're in the helicopter, why is it taking so long to get to Baltimore? And the next thing I remember, it was this day, probably around this time, 6 years ago, I woke up and my family and friends were around me. My brother was in a wheelchair because he had just had a knee operation. He was crying, and everybody else was just looking at me, and I couldn't speak. I was intubated, and I couldn't walk anymore. I didn't feel like my body, I felt like I didn't have a body, but I knew I had one. And so I just watched them, and I realized I was in serious trouble from the looks on their face. No one was crying but my brother. And later I found out that Tish told me that she told the people, if you're going to cry or you're going to be alarmed when you see her, because she's going to alarm you, don't come in, because if you're strong, Diana be strong. And so we don't want to alarm her or to make her scared. That's what they found out going on.
Let's stop there for a moment, Diane, because I want to talk about the Major General that pretty much directed everything. And I want for you to talk about our friend Tish. Because everybody needs a Tish in their life. Everybody needs to have a friend like that, but it's not always possible for people to show up in that way. And all of this experience that you have gone through, as you know, having been around me for all of these years, I believe in the three S's. And the three S's are serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. So tell us about this major general that was directing everything and everybody, including the staff, and how she assisted in your welfare initially and your healing.
Well, even though I was in trauma, I remember them talking. I could hear the nurses and the doctors in the trauma center talking. And at one point, they said three things that I remember when I was, they probably thought I was not aware they were talking. One of the things they said, that how many friends do you have? Because your friends have shut down our telephone board. And mm-hmm. I wish you could talk so you can tell your friends to stop calling and check in on mm-hmm. you. And so I thought I was happy, but I thought it was funny. And then the other one said, now you got a cousin calling from Japan. And I hope that's true, but I had one of my friends and good friends who's like a family member. She was living in Japan at the time, and she had found out. And she said that later on she told me that Tish and her mother and her sister was not calling her back, so she started calling the switchboard and asking about. And they really couldn't tell her anything because they didn't know anything, and plus their phones had died. That's why they wouldn't answer the phone. And the third thing I remember is that I used to love to hear Tish come to see me because Tish would come in these high heel shoes, and I could hear her coming, and she would come with authority. And I remember one time she came into my room, and they were doing something. I don't know if they were changing the dressings or something, so they had the curtain pulled back. And so Tish said, Diane, it's me. I said, I know, I can hear you. I heard you coming. And she said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. And she said, well, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. And she said, what are they doing? I said, I'm not sure. And so she stood behind the curtain, and all of a sudden, she jerked the curtain back. And she said, I was just making sure you were okay. And I heard the nurses say under her breath, that's a Bostonista. You know, she's into fashion and she's bossy. So they called And so Tish, one of my friends, and the fourth thing, one of my friends who I've been friends with since probably elementary or middle school, she said, Diane, I want to come see you a couple of times, but Tish sent a text out, and she said in the text, I could see Tish's neck moving, and she said, do not, no one else come to see Diane, because she's trying to be courteous and speak to people, but she's very weak and she needs her energy to heal. Do not come to see her unless you check with me. And so mm-hmm. she's thinking, how does Tish tell people when to come to see you? And I was thinking, I was so glad Tish did that, because I remember at one time a bunch of people came to see me when I was in trauma, and I think I was doing what Tish was saying, trying to be courteous. And when they left, it felt like 10 elephants were standing in my chest. I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I need all of my energy. Tish is right to heal. And and so she said, many people come and they want to engage you, but and you trying to engage them once the intimation to is out, but you can't engage anybody because they're taking everything out of you. I see it. So thank God for Letitia Franklin. she stood in the gap.
Indeed. Absolutely. And whenever it is that we need someone in our lives, universal impersonal principle or the God force. The God force always, always supplies. We just have to be aware of that and allow ourselves and that individual, that entity to be used in that way. So let's fast forward a little bit. You went through all of the changes and the challenges that you had to go through, and people were coming in and out, and you were in various hospitals over that period of time. And then all the time, though, that you were doing that, you were also thinking about helping people. And the best way that you decided to help people was through writing a book. You knew at the time that you were going through this that what you were going through would be very, very helpful to some other folks. So tell us about your book. Tell us what that means to you and how it is that people have been helped by it. First of all, give us the full title and tell us all about it.
The title of the book is Teachable Moments in Spirituality and Medicine. When I could hold my head up and could talk a little bit, people told me I was going to write a book, and I was thinking, okay. And so because I couldn't even, you know, I dreamed of the day that I would basically wash my own face and brush my own teeth and mm-hmm. wipe my own butt. That's how basic my life was. So I was thinking, okay, if I can get to just sitting up and washing my own face, I'll be happy. But as time, I was in there 7.5 months. And so when I did see, when I became mobile in a wheelchair, when they could pick me up in whatever the apparatus is and move me out of the bed to the wheelchair, I got a chance to talk to people and a lot of the patients, and I observed a lot. And one of the things I saw, and I tell people I write the book for a couple of patients, and one of the patients was a 25-year-old female. I thought she had been in a car accident like myself. And I didn't ask people what happened to them, but because of who I am and who that God has made me, people would tell me what was going on with them. And she was 20. She's 25. It was her birthday, and she gave herself a birthday party. She invited her friends and her relatives. And her mom died of HIV/AIDS when she was a kid, like 12 or 13. Her father worked across the street from her at Johns Hopkins Hospital, and she was the manager of the Burger King. And she invited him, but she said their relationship was strained. And he didn't really spend that much time with her. But she wanted him to come to her 25th party. So it's the night of her party, and the party starts, and no one shows up at her party. So she walks out of her apartment to a bridge overpass near her apartment and climbs on the other side of the bridge to jump to kill herself. And so as she climbed on the other side, someone asked her, she heard someone say, "Don't jump." And she said in her spirit, she didn't want to jump, but she felt that that was the only way to get out of her pain. And so when the person said, "Don't jump," she decided that she was going to climb on the other side and just go back to her apartment, but she was physically compromised. She couldn't get back over, and she started falling. And on the way down, she put her hands together as in prayer, and asked God to let her live, and he did, and that's why she ended up, and I ended up in the same place. But what I saw that from 0 to 10, they was asked, what's our pain score? 0 being no pain, 10 about to pass out from pain. But they never asked us about our spirit and do you have any spiritual pain? She was a young lady that was struggling, probably had a pain score of 10, from spiritual pain. Her heart was broken. But no one worked on the heart. They only dealt with the legs and the neck and the back. And we are whole people. We are body, mind, and spirit. And so I saw her struggle spiritually, and I saw her always running a 10 in spiritual pain. And it took her longer to get well. Also, she was so angry, and I don't think she even got well. They actually kind of put her out the hospital because her spirit was so bad. And, you know, when your spirit or your attitude is bad, people don't really have to deal with that. And later on, we became Facebook friends while I was in the hospital. She inboxed me on Facebook and said that she was going to try that suicide thing again. And so I was thinking that, so those are the patients. They had a patient right there in the hospital. They could have treated the whole patient. She's probably going to be, in pharmaceutical sales, they call them thick file patients. They come back and forth to the doctor all the time because no one ever deals with their real pain. They only medicate this physical pain. So the book was written for doctors and clinicians and human beings and anybody who read it to deal with the whole patient. And also, we as individuals, since I wrote the book, and Sharon's great help, thank you, God, for her, that I people have called me and said all kinds of things, that I didn't like the book, that the Holy Spirit wrote the book. And the one of the things that I'm amazed at, that Sharon and I, writing this book, that she would get the Spirit of God, she would use her just as well as to use me and write this book. And also one of the things that happened with writing it, people were telling me that that they would just cry, you know, and I've seen it, and I was thinking, why are you crying? And so so it's something that I think that God had to use me as the vessel or vehicle to go through this, to write this particular body of work, and to let folk know that we are in pain, not always physical, but some of our pain is spiritual.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And speaking of Sharon Yule Foster, I'd like to just read a little bit about this lady. But before I do that, Diane, I'd like for you to share with me what was it caused you to ask Sharon to support you in the collaboration of this work? What was it about her spirit? What was it within you that made you want to reach out and touch?
Well, it wasn't me. I had done my third or fourth edit. I had asked someone else to help me, and she helped me, and I had begged other people to help me, and no avail. And I think I was getting ready to give up on the book. And the captain, the corporal, the chief, the commander-in-chief, Letitia Franklin, said, "Diane, you're not going to give up. This is something that has to be said. Call Sharon Yule Foster." And I said, "I haven't talked to Sharon Yule Foster 15 years or more." She said, "What does that got to do with it?" So I said, "I don't have the number, but she's on Facebook." So I inboxed her, and she called me back. So thank God for Letitia Franklin again, that she brought Sharon up. And thank God for Sharon being available.
And that was the divine hookup for you. Whenever it is that we are ready, or whenever it is that the student is ready, the teacher will in fact appear. And of course, Letitia Franklin is in fact that capable teacher, capable of bridging the gaps for all of us. Let me tell you all about Sharon Yule Foster before I bring her in, so that you will understand, excuse me, who this phenomenal lady is. And I'm reading from part of her work here. And it says that Sharon Yule Foster is a true storyteller. Her nonfiction work is featured in Tavis Smiley's Keeping the Faith and Simon & Schuster's Sister Faith. She is a winner of the Civil War Institute's 2012 Shara, Shaara Prize for Excellence in Civil War Fiction for her novel, The Resurrection of Nat Turner. Her first historical novel, Passing by Samaria, was chosen as the NAACP Book of the Year in 2000 and won her the Christie Award. She remains the only African-American to have won that award. She has been a daily guidepost devotional contributor for more than 14 years. She is also a Romantic Times Career Achievement finalist, and she is a double finalist for the Romance Writers of America's RITA, the Rita Award. She is an inspired but risky and she says that this was an inspired but risky midlife career move at the turn of the millennium that changed her life. Formerly a Defense Department instructor, writer, researcher, analyst, and logistician, she is now a critically acclaimed award-winning author and speaker offering keynotes, workshops, and even private coaching on creative writing, relationships, and diversity. We are very, very, very pleased to have her on this program with my sister, who, of course, is in fact my heart. And we're going to get into a little bit of the background between Diane and I a little bit later. But first, welcome Sharon Yule Foster to the No Show. Good evening, and how are you?
Good evening. I am fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just
Hello?
Fine. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm delighted to be here, and I'm just getting chills listening to Diane tell her story again.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about how it is that you support people in general in doing what you did with Diane, and then specifically as it relates to Diane. And we want to talk about some parts of the book. And I'm holding the book here in my hand, so I want for you all to, you and Diane, to pull up certain pieces that we will then share with our listening audience. And also, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join in our conversation, we welcome that. And all you have to do, if you're already on the telephone lines with us, is hit 1 on your phone, and that will alert me to know that you are interested in making a comment or asking a question, and we will bring you into our soiree. We will bring you into this opportunity to visit with these phenomenal people and others. If you are online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford, the No Show, then you may type in your question there, and we will certainly respond as best we can, given the amount of time that we have as well. Sharon, please. Thank you.
Well, first I have to say, I met Diane when I first started writing, when my first book was published, and she and Tish were part of a book club, and they invited me to come to the book club. And, you know both of them, just really vibrant women. And and so we had a relationship. I came to their house a couple of times. And, like Diane said, it had been years since we talked. But God is so purposeful. They would come to my mind regularly, and one of the things that I remembered, I do water aerobics, and sometimes when I was in the pool, Tish would come to mind. One day when I was at their house, Tish said that this man that she knew said that if you did 50 squats a day, it would transform your life. It would transform your body. And I don't know why that stuck in my head, but sometimes when I'm exercising, I'll think about what Tish said. And that's only a God thing. So when Diane contacted me, I laughed, and I think I said to her about remembering what Tish said about the squats. didn't I say that to you, Diane?
Yes,
I think
yes,
I did.
Yes.
And I think the other thing that sort of set me up for helping Diane is that I have always remembered and know that the gift that God has given me is not just for me. That I am a servant. I'm not a rock star. I'm a servant. And that's not to say anything bad about rock stars. I'm just saying my job is to serve. And so when she asked me, I just felt a quickening in my spirit and told her that, yes, that I would do it. And even as I was saying yes, you know, part of my mind was going, oh, my goodness, what are you getting yourself into? Because, you know, when you're trying to help, even helping people can be difficult because sometimes people aren't ready to be helped. But Diane was so gracious and so wonderful. And it was a blessing to me working with her on the book because I think all of us have challenges in our lives. And sometimes we don't put them in perspective. And every time I read her story, every time I talked to her, this person who I had known, to be of healthy body and mind and spirit, to hear what she had gone through and to hear the spirit she overcame, it was grounding and inspiring and empowering. And I still think that way about it, even though you said for us to get our copies of the book, I'm laughing on the inside of me because I still don't have a copy of the book. I have all of the...
I just said Robin T because he said the same thing. So I was like, okay, I got to get on my job.
I think that challenge has been handled now. I think that is funny, and I appreciate that. But I will also share with you, if I may, Sharon, that it took quite a while for me to get my copy of the book too. Okay, and we have been Diane has been on my program what 4 times or so. So listen, don't feel bad, my sister, at all. I want to go back to something that you had said there in terms of your feeling, your spirit. Diane and I used to say, well, God will drop into our spirit. I got that from a very good friend of mine there in Washington, D.C., and we would say that God would drop the thought, the energy, the feeling, into our essence so that we would know that this is what it is that Spirit has for us to do. Spirit doesn't make us do it. Prod us forward to move in the way that we need to move. And your doing this has now allowed your supporting Diane in the way that you have and Pitch supporting her in the way that she has and hundreds of other friends that have stepped up to the plate because of who it is that Diane is, has now allowed her to move to where it is that she is. And all of us, as we are moving along, and Diane, I want for you to come back in for a moment, and Sharon, I want you to stand by. But Diane, I want for you to come back in for a moment and talk about the importance of what you and I used to call staying prayed up. In other words, always being aware of the presence of God, because as Iyanla Lanzant said in her book, the finger of God will never point you in a direction that the hand of God has not already prepared for your arrival. So, Diane, I want for you to come back in and talk just for a few minutes about how it was that you feel, as you have shared with me on numerous occasions, that you were prepared to handle where it was that you were, and that then allowed you to deal with it. Please.
Last night before I went to bed, I played this song that came from the Waiting to Exhale album, It Hurt Like Hell. And before my accident, every night before I went to bed for months, I would play that song over and over. I even started liking the cello introduction. And it hurts like hell. That's the way it feels. And I was thinking, and one of the parts that said love is always supposed to be something good and wonderful, but now I'm hurting. And I was thinking, why am I playing this song? And why do I feel so sad? And so with that song, and also every night for about 6 months,
not every night, but almost every night, I had three reoccurring nightmares, not all consecutively, but every night it'd be one that would show up. One would be that I would get on this elevator and I would want to go up, but instead of going up, it would shake me all kinds. It's like being in an elevator earthquake. And every time I woke up from that nightmare, I said, why do I keep getting on the elevator? And the second one is when I'm a little kid and I'm going to this park that we used to go to. It's like they didn't have water parks. It's like more like going this little river ride. And I would get on this little river ride in this little paddle boat. And it'd be a beautiful day out there. And then the next thing I know, it turns into a raging waterfall. You know, the boat is rocking and it's crazy and I'm in danger. And I would wake up thinking, why do I keep getting on this water ride? And the third one was that I would be walking in the National Mall. I live in Washington, D.C. And it would be a beautiful day. I park on 7th Street, and I'm walking towards the Washington Monument. And my goal is to walk to the Lincoln. And I think I turned back and then realized I don't know if I had the energy to make it to the Lincoln. So on the way back to my car, it turns it from a beautiful day to a crazy, horrendous day. Now on the Washington Mall, there are elephants and lions and tigers and moats and alligators and lizards and rhinoceros and mad dogs. And it's not a beautiful day. It's dreary and it's dark. And I'm trying to think, how do I walk through all this danger without being killed? And the final dream is that I'm in Washington, D.C., and there's an explosion. And I'm caught up in the explosion. It's some type of terrorist attack, and I don't make it. And I'm going to chapel that Sunday. And I run into a friend of mine. I actually give her a ride to the chapel, away from the chapel, after chapel. And I told her about the dream. And she looked at me and said, what are you talking about? Why are you always talking? Why have you been talking so weird about these dreams? She said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And so later on, so those dreams prepared me. Later on, I asked God, what was all those dreams about? And he said, because I was preparing you for horror. So I tell people that one of my friends, a couple of people said, Diane, I read your book. I didn't know you went through all of that. I said, that was a book. I went through more than that. I was in the hospital 7.5 months. So it was a lot of horror. It was a lot of, it was terrible. It was your worst nightmare. I woke up one time and this guy was bathing me, the nurse. And I asked him, is this real? And he said, yes, baby, it's real, and you have a long way to go. Because when I woke up from those horrible dreams, I was thinking, what are they about? And so God was preparing me for the most horrible, horrific, crazy, scary situation that anyone could go through. But I was prepared. But you're never ready.
And that's a great point. I want to park there for just a moment so that our listening audience, and we do have some questions for both of you to respond to. And ladies and gentlemen, again, I will ask those of you who are on the telephone, if you would like to ask your question online with Diane and Sharon, please just hit the number 1. Those of you who are online and would like to do that, you may call in at 347-838-9142, press 1, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Diane, one of the things that I know that the years before this interesting opportunity, because I'm not going to even call it a horrific accident anymore, because I know how it is that you were brought through. I know who it is that you are now and how it is that you are impacting people. So I am instead calling it this phenomenal an awesome opportunity. And only a person who has experienced spirit completely and fully would be able to fully understand that. But I remember, Diane, that we went through, you would go with me to meditations and to affirmations and prayers, and probably about 15 or 20 of your friends came one afternoon when I was hosting a meditation class in Washington, D.C. with Reverend Boyce at her place. And so these types of things, I think, prepare us for wherever it is that we are ultimately going. I think in one of the versions of the Bible, it says, I go to prepare a place for you. But you have to be prepared as well. So I want for you to talk to some of the things that had been going on in your life as you then walked into this experience, Diane, that you believe prepared you to handle it in the way that Spirit was able to handle it through you.
Well, a long time ago, like in the 80s, I watched this movie, and it was James Earl Jones, and one of the minds in the movie, he said that he wanted a muscle-bound spirit. And I was like, oh, my God, that's what I want. Don't ask for that, because in order to be muscle-bound spirit, you have to go through a lot of spiritual... So I was prepared, but you said that it was I forgot what you called it, but Michelle, who was in an accident with me, she called me one day, and that's why I told people a lot of stuff is not in the book. I think that because I couldn't tell it all because I was in there a long time, a lot of things happened. But Michelle called me one day early in the accident. I can't remember when, but she said that she had asked people, because she was in hospital 11 days, and I was in there 7.5 months. And she said after, I don't know what day she became conscious, but she said in and out of her consciousness, she would ask about me. And she said no one would tell her about me. And so she said, I remember you told me if you really want to find out questions, just ask God. And she said that, told me, she said, Don, you said, don't even pray, just start talking to him. I started talking to him. She said, I was not comfortable in this, but you had kind of prepared me with this. So I said, Don, what's going on with Diane? And he said, it is not good. And so she said, I asked him, so, you know, how is she going to forgive me? And so she said that, he said, think about all the people who would forgive you in this incident. And she said, out of all the people I knew, because she was the driver, she felt like she was responsible for some reason. And so she said, of all the people I knew, your name came up first, the person that would forgive me. And then she said, who would love you if something really happened to her? And she said, your name kind of rose to the top of this list. And every question I asked, your name came to the top of the list. And so she said, then, Diane, I asked him, why did it happen? And he said that it was not an accident. He said that it was an appointment that we kept.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a phenomenal conversation. This is an opportunity for all of us to appreciate from whence we have come and where it is that we are going. This is The Note Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. And we are pleased to ask you and invite you to come to Blog Talk Radio, to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford, to Renford Broadcast Network. We have phenomenal programs just like this all the time that are on for your listening pleasure, for you to relate to people and their experiences, and for all of us to move forward. I know that there are a couple of you who are online with us right now, and you've been kind enough to stand by, and I'm going to get to you in just a moment. We are so pleased that you are holding on as you are, and I know that you are getting a lot from this experience. Let me bring Carrie Kelly in, who is my sidekick and my guest host. And Carrie, I know that you are familiar with Diane. You've been on our program with us many times before. please share with me what your thoughts are from what it is that you have heard so far.
Again, as always, I am so privileged to be a part of this show, to hear incredible stories like Diane's story, and that the amazing messages that are showing up here at this time right now today. The just all of the wisdom and the perseverance that it took to get through it and to understand that this experience was for you to share so that other people could benefit and learn. And I think the thing that has struck me the most is the fact that you understand how the medical industry or the medical field has not always taken on the whole person, and the people that are spiritually in pain, they need pain relief for the spirit as well. So that is the thing that's really amazing to me, that you were able to provide a step in that direction for, like, awareness, the awareness that there is spiritual pain that needs attention. And I really appreciate your work and the opportunity that you found through all of this experience.
Excellent, excellent. Diane, would you like to respond to what Carrie just said?
Well, I think that the way I got introduced to spirituality and medicine, one of my friends, Karen, who was also, Tish was I had so many friends that took on different roles, but Tish was the planner, organizer, captain, and Karen was legal. She's an attorney. She's an estates and elder law attorney. And one of the things that Karen introduced me through Howard University School of Medicine was spirituality and medicine. One of her friends ran a program over there called the Center for Spirituality and Medicine at the School of Medicine. And Karen called me years ago and said, Diane, I spoke at this program at Howard on spirituality and medicine. And I said, so what did you talk about? She said, you got to come to the next one. And so I said, what did you talk about? And she said, I talked about, as an estates attorney and an elder law attorney, when I used Lazarus in the Bible. When Lazarus died, everyone had a voice. Jesus had a voice. You know, he called Lazarus. The sisters were saying, you can't do anything. And the other sister was crying. And she said, Lazarus didn't say anything. And so she said that when you die, what would you be saying from the grave? So she introduced me to spirituality and medicine, so I went to some of the conferences. And the first person that I stepped aside at one of the conferences were the dinners with the anesthesiologist. He's an older guy. He's probably my age now, but I was probably in my 30s or 40s. He's an anesthesiologist. He also was a Presbyterian minister. And he told me that every time he puts a patient down for surgery, he asked them, could he pray for them? And if they said yes, he would pray audibly. If they said no, he would still pray. And he said that the surgeons will always congratulate him and just give him all these accolades that his patients did so well in surgery, and that the surgery went so smooth because anesthesiologist's job is so important to surgery. And so that's the first person I met 25 years ago in spirituality and medicine, a physician that was also also a priest or a minister. And so I was introduced to this body of work. And so when I had to write this book, because everybody was telling me, Don, write a book, write a book, write a book. And I was thinking, what would I write about? And so being a marketing person, I wrote a book that I didn't see out there. I wrote a try to fill in the space. I have a medical background too. I sold pharmaceuticals for 20 years. So I'm also I'll say this now because I finally got my ministry. That I also have been called into the ministry probably 30 years ago, but I thought I was like Jonah. I ran from the call. And so I ran from the call, and now and a year ago I prayed for a ministry. And so my ministry is wholeness. And believe it or not, my mother's maiden name is Wholeness without the W. And so so now I get an opportunity to go to churches with people who call me to speak. The first place they called me to speak was I spoke to a group of ministers at Alpha Street Baptist Church. And I told them that my vision is to plant wholeness centers, to move outreach centers and get churches to start wholeness centers, because I don't think hospitals going to charge them. Because you go to hospital, they want to know if you got an insurance card. But if you go to if you go to a church should be about transformation. So instead of just giving people groceries or clothes or, you know, doing homework, let's move our outreach centers to wholeness centers, and let's start wholeness centers, wholeness places. So that's one of hopefully my next book will be a template of how to set up a wholeness center. And one of the ministers at the retreat at Alfred Street asked me, so she said, really, I'm a minister at the church, but my real job from 8 to 5 every day, I'm a second grade teacher. So what are you planning on doing about the kids? And I said, just think that we got whole children. We started a pediatrics wholeness, a part of the church. And we got whole children. They would grow up to be whole adults, and they would marry whole people. We have whole marriages, and we have whole churches and whole communities. So,
and that's where it starts. And
that's
that
where
it starts.
Where it starts. So I think that's the best place to start is with kids. And so so now I think God made me, you know, I found I'm not Jonah anymore. I'm the sister of promise. I'm in the promised land now. So
That's good. I like that. I like that. Ladies and gentlemen, the book is called Teachable Moments, Spirituality and Medicine by Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa with Sharon Ewell Foster. The book is a small book that will not take you very long to read it, but it will take you a lifetime to actually implement and actualize all of the things that are within it. I promise you that that is the case because all of us have been working for lifetimes on doing just that. Another outcome of this situation was Diane's understanding how the medical community works, and both of us worked in the medical field. I was a special procedures x-ray tech in the military and then got out of the military and worked for the VA hospital system. And Diane sold pharmaceuticals to people in the various spaces and places. So we have that history. And then we were brought together as friends to actually just enjoy what we thought we only enjoyed, and that was food. We came together initially around food. We love to eat, okay? But no, here's my point. Whenever it is that spirit brings us together, there is so much more than whatever it is that we see at face value. So I am excited about the opportunities for you, Diane, in the work that you are doing with your first book. Tell us where we can get the book. We might reach out and get it. Is it available online? If so, where? Please.
It's available on Amazon.com as of January the 5th, and it's available at the publishing company. It's called Tate Publishing. So if you go on Amazon and type in Teachable Moments, or you can just go on Google and type in Teachable Moments and Spirituality and Medicine, it'll come up. Or you type in my name in Google or Amazon, it'll come up in both places, Tate and Amazon. You can go to Google and just type in Teachable Moments, Spirituality and Medicine.
Excellent. And that is what we want to do. We want for you to make this book a part of who it is that you are. Put it in your libraries, put it in your homes. I assure you that it is something that you want to read. I don't just say that because I do have vested interest, because I, in fact, did write a healing affirmation for the medical community in this book on page 103. And I'm not going to go into that, but what I want for you to know is, again, as I said earlier, that the finger of God will always point us in a direction that the hand of God has prepared. And Spirit wants for all of us to know that we all can and should work together for not only the glory of God, but for all humankind, so that we can move forward and do wonderful things. That is a message that all of us would love to get to our political community right now for certain. But that's okay. They will come around. Sharon, let me ask you where people might reach out and get your books as well. All of the books that I mentioned on Nat Turner, so forth and so on. Where might they get those, please?
They can get them also through Amazon.com. Barnes & Noble carries them. If you just search my name, Sharon, Sharon Foster, like foster child, and my maiden name is Jewel, and it's like Jewel without the J, but you have to add an L. So it's Sharon Jewel Foster. If you search Sharon Foster novelist, my books will come up.
Now, there was a gentleman in Dallas, Texas, a little not very well-known minister there, Sharon, that had some really nice things to say about you. I wonder if you might tell us who that was and what it was that that he said, please.
So, see, when you said that, I was scratching my head and thinking, who is he talking about?
And, yeah, right. And who was it? Who was it? Tell us who it is.
Bishop T.D. Jakes.
That's right.
Called me the Picasso of the pen.
Wow.
That's right. The Picasso of the pen, Reverend T.D. Jakes in Dallas, Texas. And we all know of his works and the fact that he does not speak lightly, and whatever it is that he says, he certainly wants to make certain that it is true. So that is the truth. Ladies, we have about 5 minutes left, but before we start to close out, there are a couple of things that I just want to say about our program this evening, and I want to thank Mr. Cecil, our very capable RBR Director of Programs and Technology, who the program was challenged in coming on this evening. I had actually called Diane and said, listen, we may not be able to get it up. We may have to resched. But I said, even after I said that, and I want you all to circle with us on this one, after I said that to her, I said, but Diane, we are going to LGHI. We are going to let God handle it as we pray and move our feet in the direction that Spirit is guiding our steps. And Mr. Cecil called me a little bit right after that prayer and said, everything is a go, all is well. So I want to thank Mr. Cecil McDaniel, the RBR Director of Programs and Technology, for the RBR Renford Network, and how grateful, and share with him how grateful it is that all of us are that this program, because this is an important program. We want for you to go up online, pull it down, and send it to your friends. Send it to people who need to know that Spirit is still in the healing business, that God has not forgotten any of us, and that whatever it is that we are going through for a reason, a lesson, and not necessarily a lifetime. But until we get the lesson, then we will have to continue to go through that lesson. Now, I'm going to leave that alone, okay? But know that whatever it is that you are going through for a reason, and that God's got your back. Diane, where do you go from here? I know you're talking about writing another book. When might we expect that? What are your thoughts in terms of that, you know, the first one is always the hardest. So then the next one just flows. So I don't want to put you on the spot here or anything, Diane, but should we look for that in about 3 months or 4 months or 5 months? What should we give us a timeline here?
Oh, I'm not going to give you a timeline. I think I've gotten like a page, but one of the things that I learned from this that you get this problem of spiritual distress or from either. Oh, well, I was looking at this holding center when people come in to be treated just like a hospital. You come in, you be triaged, and you ask them if it's drama, is it trauma, or is it stress? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to, I met another young lady who's helping me kind of think, kind of shape this thing about trauma, drama, and stress. And she said that we get trauma, drama, and stress. It's when we don't have a relationship with God or haven't checked with God in our problems or in our daily or start our day with him or in continuously checking with him. And she said trauma, drama, and stress. You get an STD, stress, trauma, and drama, STD, if you don't have an intimate, if you're not intimate with God first. You get an STD, you get stress, trauma, drama. But that kind of is the beginning of this wholeness center, that if you don't have the intimacy with God, that you will usually get an STD. And so it's the beginning of your wholeness when you avoid STDs and start your relationship with God first. So that's where I am. I like it, but I have to get quiet, and I'm working on like 50 things. And, you know, me all over the place. So ADHD adult. So once I can get a focus, I think that to write this book, I had to comment. I went to the gym every day. I researched spirituality and medicine, spirituality and healthcare. I found out what the healthcare professionals were saying about it, some of the experts. And then I wrote about my epiphanies or things that happened to me. And and I call those moments. And that's why I call it a spiritual moment. Because it was just for a moment that the things that happened, you know, like the time that I wrote that Jesus said I was struggling and God put me in his pocket, you know, and I wrote that in the book. But that was a moment. It was not a long, stretched out thing. It was just a little moment. And so, but a very powerful moment. And
yeah,
so it's the same thing. I got to find out how to write this this wholeness template for and talk about trauma, the stress, trauma, and drama, and how we can get whole and leave that and become intimate with God and leave the stress, trauma, and drama alone. And so.
Absolutely. Diane, I want for you to stand by for a moment because there is another person who would like to say good evening, and I think that you might know this person extremely well. Matter of fact, we've been talking a little bit about her all night. I hope she wasn't listening to that part because she may have some other things to say about y'all. Not me. I didn't say anything. Good evening, Ms. Tish. How are you? How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you, my sister. I've missed you guys, and look forward to seeing you soon. But it's wonderful to know that all is well.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts in terms of what you have heard this evening from your sister and others of us?
Well, first of all, hello, Diane, and hello, Sharon.
Hello.
Guys, it's always good to hear the perspective from multiple ways, and I just actually sat in amazement to listen to, again, Diane's story, no matter the fact that I've lived through it, been a part of it, we're on the other end of it, it still just boggles my mind and my heart. But one of the things I wanted to share was the fact that I remember when Diane got in the accident, and I was actually training at University of Maryland when I got the call, and it was weird. And so, you know, just God ordained that they called me and said that Diane was in shock trauma. And I just so happened to be teaching one of the clinical staff that was part of shock trauma. And she, in turn, actually got me into the OR so that I could see where Diane was and kind of what was happening. So she literally walked me through so I could visually look down as they were actually performing Diane's initial surgery. And then the other part to that was in realizing kind of what was going on, because I also sold pharmaceuticals for 20 years, and I realized that everyone coming in the hospital actually should not be there. And better yet, they come and they bring, actually the patient becomes sicker as a result of the outside germs, just the stress of all the company in and out. And so in becoming actually Diane's liaison, I knew in order for her to make it through, one, she had to be healthy, and she had to be free of infection. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we would have to limit friends and family from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part bigger than that was the fact that a lot of people could not handle it. They would come into her room, they would get sick, mm-hmm. faint, mm-hmm. You name it. I mean, they would start crying before they even entered the door.
Right.
So
that's right.
It just was not the place to have them come in to bring in that energy when Diane
that's
was
right.
trying to live.
Right.
So, again, you know, God, when he drops those nuggets into your spirit of what you're supposed to do, it's just no chance happening. So, in saying all of that, down to the fact that when Diane and I talked and Sharon Yule Foster came to mind, you know, God dropped that into my spirit. So, automatically, I knew that Sharon would be the person, and I knew she would say yes. And so, mm-hmm. Sharon, I think about, again, us, our talks in the basement and the squats, you're exactly right. Like, I still should be doing those squats now, just think what kind of body I would have.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
You know, and I think about the whole thing, everything being orchestrated, everything in our lives being orchestrated.
Yeah.
And it's just, are we willing, and are we willing to be the vessel or the instrument? And
wow.
You know, it's no accident that Diane was the person chosen, just the grace that she has, and not to say, you know, that she never had a moment when she was challenged or whatever, but just when I look at the story, it is clear that God's hand was in everything, from you all being friends, from the work that you all did, just everything, just a phenomenal God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
also,
right.
You know what, when I actually got home that day to call my mother and my sisters and my brother and everything, we all did a family conference, and, you know, my mother's a prayer warrior. So
mm-hmm.
I told her, you got to call out for big guns. And telling them, I said, well, out of all the people that would come through this process and that would
mm-hmm.
come and hold, it would be Diane.
Mm-hmm.
And so that spoke, I mean, that was monumental. And I just remember I had that conversation and I heard it from other friends. And, you know, it's like, who else could endure this? Mind, body, and spirit, and that could come back and be a whole person. So, Diane, God has your appointment, and girl, he is, again, your cup will overflow as a result of all of this, and it has saved all of our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Fish.
Thank you,
wow.
Fish. That was wonderful. So glad that you are always there for all of us, and that we all have walked through the valley of the shadow of death together. A little humorous note to this. As a matter of fact, at one of the little parks over in Washington, D.C., the ladies had on their heels, and we walked down to the river just to have a meditation and a prayer circle. And I believe, Tish, that was on one of your birthdays, if memory serves correctly. That you had said, you know, what I'd like for us to do is to do something differently. So we all came together, and you all were kind enough to allow me the privilege of supporting and leading that prayer work and those meditations. But see, that was part of what led us to where it was that Diane ended up. So my grandmother used to always say to me, "Baby, stay prayed up. Always stay prayed up." And how do we stay prayed up? By meditation, by prayer, by doing the right thing, by listening to Spirit. So finally, as I close out here, I want to thank all of you and all of you who are online and did not say anything but just wanted to be a part of this experience. All of you who called in, those who chose not to say anything but just wanted, again, to be a part of this experience. My final words with you are these: there are no accidents in life, only spiritual opportunities. There is serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. The hospital staff there in Baltimore, in all of the various hospitals that Diane was a part of, could not believe all of us that were a part of that experience and were constantly coming into her room. They wanted to know, who is this person? You know, is she the vice president of something or the president of something? No, it was her spirit. It was her love for God and her love for people that brought all of us together. I am so grateful that you all decided to stop by the No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. We will be back next week with another phenomenal show. In the meantime, you may go up online and download this one and keep it, because you will want to hear it again and again and again for those times in your life when you are down a little bit and you can remember that others have made it through and know that you too will make it through as well. I'm so grateful to Carrie Kelly for being supportive this evening, and we thank you. And again, we thank the RBR director, Mr. Cecil, for supporting us in the wonderful way that he did. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The No Show. We will see you next week. Until then, reach out and touch somebody and say hello. Reach out and touch and make certain that they know that they are important, as you are important, as God is within all of us and operating within us right now. Take care. We'll see you next week. May God bless. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. We'll see you. God bless.